Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Lucas Kitchen, and I'm with the Grace Evangelical Society. This is Grace in Focus, which is a show that's designed to help you get clarity on biblical concepts. And we're currently talking about what has been called the King Jesus debate, or the King Jesus gospel. Now, we began yesterday talking about perseverance of the saints. We're going to continue today because we didn't quite cover that entire subject on Monday. So let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for tuning into the show. What does it mean to work out your salvation? Do you need to persevere in faith and good works for the rest of your life to be eternally saved at all? I mean, what did Paul mean when he talked about working out your salvation? That's the question we've been discussing based on an article written by John MacArthur. You can find it at his website. It's called, What Does It Mean to Work Out Your Salvation? And what is his basic thesis?
Okay, and by the way, we haven't given the entire article. Go there, look at the whole thing. We've picked out some of the high points. But his basic thesis, here's a quote from him that I think sums it up toward the end of the article. Perseverance in the faith is the duty of every true believer, and yet not the power of their security. It is, however, the unmistakable and inevitable evidence of divine power operating in the soul. So maybe we could unpack that.
All right. Perseverance in the faith is the duty of every true believer. Let's leave out the word true for a second.
Yeah, notice he puts true because if you're not a true believer, then you won't persevere and you'll prove you're a believer but not a true one.
Right, but let's just talk about perseverance in the faith is the duty of every believer.
Right.
Agree or disagree?
Yes, agree.
Yes, we should continue in the faith, not just believing, but in our behaving.
A duty is something which is a responsibility given to that person.
Right.
So, like, if I'm in the military, my duty is to obey any officer, anyone who is above me, I am to obey their orders. That's my duty. Doesn't mean I'm going to do it.
Right.
But that's my duty. In the same way, perseverance of the faith is the duty of every believer. Yes, true.
True. And yet not the power of their security.
True.
And so that means persevering in the faith is not what keeps you, what, once saved, always saved.
Right.
It doesn't keep you eternally saved.
Right. Now, of course,
This is a weird statement for him to make.
Right. Because basically he doesn't agree with what he just said.
Well, because we left out, or we didn't leave it out. We said we were going to discuss it. He says the duty of every true believer.
Right.
Now, what is the significance of him talking about true believers?
Okay, his point would be, if you're a true believer, Jesus guarantees to keep you secure. But if you're not a true believer, Jesus doesn't guarantee to keep you secure. And so, in his view, the true believer perseveres and is guaranteed to be secure. So that, basically, eternal security hinges on perseverance. Even though he's saying it's not the power of it, because God's the one who guarantees, as he's going to go on to say, that we will persevere.
Right.
However, we have to be warned about it. That's why everything we've talked about in the previous shows has been dealing with, you better watch out, you better persevere, you better continue in the faith.
Because from my perspective, or from the person's perspective, psychologically, they're going to be looking at their life, and they might say, okay, I know theoretically that the reason why I'm saved is because God in eternity past predestined me or elected me to salvation.
Which would be MacArthur's position.
And that's MacArthur's position. And that's what makes me, you know, a true believer, because I've been given this gift faith, this special gift faith that
God
gives.
That's also his position, yeah.
But what it feels like from a subjective perspective is, I better continue being a good Christian, otherwise I'm going to... I need to prove to myself that I'm one of these real elect people, and so I need
all of those is what MacArthur's saying.
Right.
Even the last point.
Right, yeah.
Yes, right.
And so even though you're going to say to yourself, okay, I'm eternally secure because God keeps me secure, from a subjective perspective, you're going to be working as if you believed explicitly in work salvation, because you're going to be like, I need to prove to myself that I'm really one of the good guys or something.
Well, look at the last sentence here.
So it says, in his last sentence is, it is, however, the unmistakable and inevitable evidence of divine power operating in the soul. So perseverance is the inevitable evidence a divine power.
And unmistakable.
So what does that mean?
So that means if you can't see perseverance in your life, since it's unmistakable, it would seem to me you can be sure you're not born again. That's not what he means.
Mm.
But because unmistakable would mean you can't mistake it. So therefore, let's say I've been a Christian for a week.
Yeah.
Which should be unmistakable in me, right?
Right.
Already.
Right.
Because in their view, you basically start the Christian life, at least in terms of perseverance of the saints, mature.
So how would it be unmistakable? I'm trying to think of an example he might use. It's unmistakable because, you know, maybe 60 seconds before you were born again, you were an alcoholic. And now 60 seconds after being born again, you have absolutely no desire for alcohol whatsoever.
That is a view of many people. I'm not sure if that's MacArthur's view or not, but a lot of people would understand certain texts to be saying that. And so they would say all your desires have changed.
Right. Is that what would make it unmistakable? Like your desires are so completely different now that you're born again because it's God doing this to you. I mean, how else would it be unmistakable?
Well, even if you call that unmistakable, it's still mistakable because if you were to say it's unmistakable, then, okay, how are you explaining the fact, like Dr. MacArthur would say, that believers can fall away for a time? Well, when you're falling away, is it still unmistakable then?
Right.
Well, you're going to come back. Yeah, but before you come back, is it unmistakable then? No, because in their view of assurance, assurance is only yours when you're walking in the light. And by the way, they say inevitable evidence.
Well, here, wait, before we get, I'm thinking if your theology says there is unmistakable evidence of God working in your life, aren't you going to be looking for spiritual experiences? Like, aren't you going to be looking for big changes? You're going to be looking for supernatural stuff happening in your life.
Right. You know, it's a little bit easier if you start the way you described. Like, say you're an alcoholic and you're a person that sleeps around and you're a mafia hitman. You're just a really terrible person and you come to faith in Christ and suddenly all those desires go away and you stop doing all those things.
Right.
Well, by the way, that's not what the scriptures teach.
Uh-huh.
And that's not reality either. Growth takes time.
Right.
And it's not guaranteed. It's not automatic. But
if you were like a big sinner, quote unquote, right, a big sinner, and that changed, then you can, that might give you a little bit of assurance.
Right.
Oh, God did this.
Right. But in my case, and in the case of many modern Pharisees, which is what I was,
uh-huh,
I had never been drunk in my life.
Right.
I still haven't, but that's not the point. I didn't sleep around.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't killing people.
You're basically a good in a worldly sense, a good person already.
I was a Pharisee. And when I came to faith, what I found is I became less holier than thou. I became less self-righteous. I became more like, okay, I know I'm born again by faith in Christ apart from works. I know I'm a sinner saved by grace. And the fact that I'm externally more righteous than some other people doesn't mean internally I've got it together. I realized that I had a multitude of attitudinal sins,
mm-hmm,
and a multitude of other sins I wasn't aware of. And over the course of the last 48 years, I've come to see that, you know, the Lord has been chipping off bit by bit, and I've still got lots of ground to go. And if I live to be 100, I'm still going to have plenty of growth.
Right. So basically what you're saying is growth is sometimes hard to see, and it's sometimes very subtle.
Incremental, yes.
Right. Well, what about the second word, inevitable? Do you find that growth is always kind of going up?
Or no.
Or you're just on a path upward constantly, just getting better, better, better,
okay,
better, better?
Let me tell you, I went to Dallas Theological Seminary, and I went back in the day from 1978 to 82 for my master's and 82 to 85 for my doctorate, and that was kind of like the golden era of Dallas Seminary, or maybe toward the end of the golden era. I can't tell you how many experiences I had with students that had terrible falls.
Mm-hmm.
One guy I knew very well, his wife was 9 months pregnant, and he left her for another girl during his fourth year in seminary, and he didn't graduate.
Oh, boy.
Another guy was set to get the Old Testament Award, and he was sent to the Minerith and Meyer Clinic because he was cutting his wife up.
Oh.
Yeah, he would cut his wife with scissors. And she thought that, you know, she was to put up with that because she was committed till death do us part.
Wow.
And I can give you example after example. Guys who were arrested, And so the fact that a person is born again doesn't mean they've got everything together.
Well, see, now MacArthur would say, obviously, all those guys were not born again.
No, I remember Dr. Walvoord in Chapel, who was the president when I was there. And he said, you know, we know people that we admit, about 1% of the guys we admit have some serious psychological baggage because we give them the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory Test, and we know they've got some significant problems. But we believe that God reclaims lives. Mm. Because these people are very gifted, we're willing to give them a shot. Mm-hmm. But some of them do get arrested. And then we drop them out of seminary, and they're not going to stay. But we're giving them a chance because we believe that people should have a chance, especially if these are people that God has gifted.
Right.
It seemed reasonable to me, but it also seemed that it was taking a significant chance. If you take someone with some serious psychological problems, then you're going to have some of them get arrested.
Sure. And this would kind of give a different, more common sense light to a lot of the passages MacArthur quotes in this article. A lot of these passages say you should persevere in faith and good works.
Right.
Because it's not inevitable. Contrary to what he says here, that perseverance is the inevitable evidence of divine operating power, God warns us because it's not inevitable that you're going to persevere.
Exactly. Every passage he cites shows it's not inevitable. So he goes on to say that believers will persevere because God's power keeps their salvation secure. Jesus repeatedly emphasizes that truth. And that's not true. Jesus doesn't say that believers will persevere because God guarantees that. God does guarantee to keep their salvation secure.
Right, you're eternally secure.
But not the perseverance.
But you're not guaranteed to be an A-plus Christian the rest of your life. You could die with a lot of moral problems in your life, like these guys.
Absolutely. In our last episode on this discussion by Dr. John MacArthur, we will look at Philippians 1:6 and then Philippians 2:12. Join us then.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Come back tomorrow to hear the next installment of this same series. We're going to continue with part 3, talking about the perseverance of the saints according to John MacArthur. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.